You may have noticed that Mary and I have not been present for the last few weeks. First, we each had a mild case of COVID-19 that caused us to remain in isolation for about 10 days. As a result, I missed my 50th high school reunion. Then I attended the Indianapolis 500 with our older son and had a marvelous time bonding with my son. Finally, we assisted that same son, who is a doctor in the Air Force, with his family move from Alabama to Florida near Cape Canaveral. That trip was fraught with challenges. 3 flat tires and a fire on the rental moving trucks, all of which resulted in spending more time on the side of the road waiting for repairs than actual driving time. However, the retelling of the details of these last 3 weeks must wait for another time. Suffice it to say, we're very glad to be back home. A positive development, however, from these events was the opportunity that we had to spend time with 2 of our granddaughters, almost 3-year-old Nora and almost 1-year-old Eva. While every grandparent lays claim to the brightest and most beautiful grandchildren in the world, I have to say that I was pretty impressed that Nora can count up to 15, and her cousin, 4-year-old Shali, can count to 100 in both French and English. In a relatively short time, they'll all be learning addition, subtraction, their multiplication tables, then algebra, geometry, calculus, and who knows, maybe even differential equations. This progression of learning mathematics is called, I'm told by my retired school teacher wife, sequential learning, which is exactly what we, the children of God, have experienced throughout our human history insofar as our understanding of God is concerned. As we read in the Catechism, God made himself known to us in the beginning with Adam and Eve. Then, through Noah, the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Moses, and the prophets of the Old Testament, God gradually revealed more and more of himself to us. In certain Old Testament passages, such as that which we hear in today's first reading from the book of Proverbs, which refers to the wisdom of God, God left traces of his Trinitarian being. Then came the nativity, life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ, who is the fullness of all revelation, and who promised, as we hear in today's gospel, to send the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, who will guide us to all truth. In this passage, God has fully revealed to us his Trinitarian nature. One God in 3 persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that is what we celebrate today, the solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity, on this first Sunday after Pentecost. The dogma on which the entirety of Christian faith is based is that of the Most Holy Trinity. The concept of one God in 3 persons is a mystery, which is the central mystery of Christian faith and life. It's the most fundamental and essential teaching in the hierarchy of the truths of our faith. Yet this mystery, rooted in Trinitarian love, is that from which all creation unfolds, and to which we, God's children, are called through our baptism in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We're called to model this love, however imperfect we humans are, in our relationship with God and with each other. It's quite a challenge that God has presented to us. It's oftentimes hard to model that total Trinitarian love when we're confronted with the rude driver on the highway, the inconsiderate person at the grocery store, or sometimes even our own loved ones. But that's what we Christians, one and all, are called to do. Love as completely, as totally as we humanly can. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.